We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
They've got what looks like a pretty good roster with one small exception, and that exception is the most important position on the field, and that's the quarterback. I look at Tua Tagovailoa, and I see a guy who was drafted with the expectation that he would be elite and that he would be face of the franchise and that he would help raise them to championships. In fact, that's the reason that they did all that stuff in 2019. They tanked for Tua. It turns out that he's not been that good.
That is Armando Salguero, who covered the Dolphins forever for Miami Herald. And is now an NFL Odyssey insider. He was on with Chopin Bulldog recently. We are going to focus in on the AFC East and the offseason recap for this division specifically, which, of course, is interest here. And we are joined on the Western Hotline by Seth Galina, senior football analyst, Pro Football Focus. Seth, it's Howard and Zach. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning. What's going on?
We're just kind of trying to figure out how quickly to make the calendar go away so we can get to football season.
But it's the hockey playoffs.
Not here.
Honestly, not here either.
Yeah, we kind of got that 11-year drought thing going, Seth. So we're kind of looking forward to Bill's training camp at this point.
I get it.
Yeah.
I won't say anything bad about this.
No, actually, we feel better about them these days. But, you know, it's been a while since we had hockey and warm weather and watching playoff games in shorts. So I wanted to get you on to assess the division, okay? And we'll get into the specific teams. But I want to start off with an overview and a general. I think most people would favor the Bills to three-peat. Will they be pushed? Will there be a challenge? Will there be a threat? Is this a fairly easy lift for the Bills in the AFC East in 2022?
Yeah, I think obviously when you're looking at the teams around them do enough to really push them? I don't know. I think that they're pretty much they're still the class of the division. I don't think the Patriots, who obviously finished second last year, I think the roster is just not as good as it was even last year. So I look at that and I'm like, well, if that was the second place team, then we kind of have a bit of a problem there if we're trying to catch the Bills. The Dolphins obviously spent a lot of money, made a big trade. Finally got a tackle. They got a receiver. Yep. So I like what they did, but of course it's all going to come down to, well, can you actually use those receivers with the quarterback you have? And then, you know, to a certain degree, it's the same with the Jets. It's like, all right, well, the draft was good. You know, they had a lot of draft capital. They got good players. But can you use those good players with the quarterback you have? And to a certain degree, the only – quarterback in this division that we know for sure can use the players to their best is Josh Allen right now. And I'm including Mac Jones in there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what I hate to say. I know I've used the term, and I hate to say the Josh Allen model. It's not the Josh Allen or Bills model to build up your football team, get the franchise quarterback, and then whatever pieces you still need. Like the Bills came in and said, hey, we're going to overhaul the offensive line. Hey, we're going to junk the wide receiver core. And we're going to do this. Oh, we got Josh. Now we're going to add some other things around him. Like you said, Miami's doing that around Tua. The Jets are trying to do that around Zach Wilson. The last offseason was trying to do that in getting ready for Mac Jones. But if you don't have the quarterback, it doesn't matter. Let me. So you did your overviews. Now let's go into the specifics. Seth, we'll start with the Bills. Okay, in a nutshell, overhaul the defensive line. They bring in Von Miller, Levi Wallace out. They draft a corner in the first round. They drafted a speedy running back. Sanders and Beasley gone. Crowder in. Give me your overall assessment of a team that was considered a favorite going into the offseason. What's the offseason been like for the Bills as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the thing I didn't even mention is like, there. If you would have put last year's roster, you would have said, okay, this is still the team to beat in the East. This year's roster, I think it got even better. Like you said, you go ahead and get a pass rusher who is going to be a Hall of Fame. Getting up there in age, but when he was traded last year and by the playoffs, he was an elite pass rusher again. I think the corner situation is really good. You know, they were obviously looking for a corner opposite Trey White. Obviously, Trey White missed half the season last year, but you're looking for a corner opposite Trey White, and I like what they can do now in terms of, hey, you know, Kaiir Elam is a guy you can press. Like, I think they've been looking for a guy maybe play on the weak side. Maybe you can press him single receiver side. Not that Trey White is not a press guy, but he can play off. You can give different looks to the quarterback that way. And Elam is such a good press man-to-man defender. And then, you know, in terms of the running back situation, I think it'll be interesting to see what the Bills think of themselves going forward offensively in terms of what they want to show you. Because what we saw was, you know, let's say 18-20 games from the start of the 2020 season of them being like, hey, we are an air raid team. We are spread. We don't keep the running back in the backfield to protect. We have five eligible receivers on every play, and Josh Allen is going to make us right. And that's it. That's how we're going to play. We're going to play vertical, five-man protection, and we're going to go. And what ended up happening was you have games where if Allen is just off by a tick, you would have problems. You know, the Jacksonville game, the Steelers game, for example, the Chiefs game in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. So they said, okay, let's chill for a minute. Let's put a fullback on the field. Let's play Dawson Knox maybe more aligned at tight end, you know, rather than him split out as a receiver, as a slot all the time. And so we can get better looks from the defense. We don't want to do this, but we kind of don't have a choice because everyone is treating our first and 10 like it's third and 9. And we're getting blitzed, we're getting simulated pressures, we're getting zone blitz, and it's too much for us. So I wonder if they can go back with the running back they have. You know, you said a speed running back. I wonder if they can go back to being a little more spread, which they want to do. And you can hand the ball off to a running back. You don't have, like, I think those other running backs are good, but they're not the speed guys. I mean, you look at the 40-time difference in the 40 times between them and Cook. Like, Cook is a speed guy. You're giving him space because you're so spread. I wonder if they go back to that with that type of running back.
We're with Seth Galina from Pro Football Focus. All right, let me move from Buffalo. Let's just go to Miami next. And you touched on some of their offseason. So they make the coaching change, which was very surprising. But they bring in a guy who should make their offense better. The big move to get Tyreek Hill. They seem to have improved the running back position, which makes sense because I think most of us are expecting them to lean a little bit more on the running game. You cited the offensive tackle. How would you assess Miami? How much better do you think they got on paper this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, they did the thing that they needed to do, especially on offense, and that's, like, improve their offensive line. Now, their issue, especially with the offensive line, is just like, okay, you got one piece, and that piece, let's say perfect world, Terron Armstead, he's healthy, he plays like he's done over his career. Okay, great. No guarantee, but that's let's assume that. You're still, like, pretty bad at the other position. Like, that to me is still a concern here. Like, they're not like, okay, great, you got a left tackle, and left tackle might be the most important position, let's say, but you're so bad on the interior. Now they're hoping that a guy like Austin Jackson, hoping a guy like Robert Hunt take that like third year breakout, which we see in offensive linemen. But there's no guarantee that that happens. Like you said, they go and get the receiver. Did they need a guy like Tyreek Hill? I don't know, but he is Tyreek Hill, so
doesn't hurt. Well. Yeah,
doesn't hurt, right? And now you have all this talent to go down the field. Jalen Waddle obviously was great as a rookie last year, and you have Mike Gesicki. So you're going to see the difference probably between last year and this year, bringing in Mike McDaniel coming from the San Francisco 49ers. You're going to see a lot less, kind of like we just talked about with Buffalo. You're going to see a lot less, like, just spread offense. You're going to see more two tight ends on the field, which means, because I don't know if you can just play in that offense, I don't know if you can just play Mike Gesicki as the single tight end on the field because he's a receiver, because he's a slot receiver. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I think you'll see a little difference. You'll see more under center play action. I actually like what they did on offense last year. I thought it fit Tua's skill set. So I'm very interested to see if they can form it differently to hide his deficiencies and just show off his strength.
Next up is New England. And, I mean, they had a pretty quiet offseason in free agency. They did all their spending a year prior. So, you know, if you look at them, Seth, right, it was more about re-signing their own key guys. But they did suffer a big loss, J.C. Jackson, who was their best cornerback. They lost a couple of offensive linemen. They lost their offensive coordinator, which could be important because they're having a offensive coordinator play calling competition in training camp, apparently. So assess the Patriots offseason, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little nervous for them because I don't – Mac Jones, you know, in terms of PFF grade, did pretty well. I mean, somewhere around 80 PFF grade over the season. Highest wins above replacement number for a rookie quarterback last year, kind of by far. Among that group of players. But I just, there's something, you know, like you said, you're losing a top man coverage wide receiver in J.C. Jackson, who changes the way you can play defense. I think over the course of a couple of seasons now, or I guess the course of 12 months, you're losing your top two man-to-man corners. And Gilmore, who they obviously didn't feel like they wanted anymore in the middle of last season or at least going back to last off season. And now J.C. Jackson, it's like, all right, well, you're not the man coverage team you want to be anymore. Like, you've done this for 5 years and you just can't do this anymore. So let's get a complete, I guess, overhaul of that defense. You're losing a leader in Kyle Van Noy. And then, like you said, the offensive line, you're trading Shaq Mason. You let Ted Karras go to Cincinnati. They did, I guess, re-sign Trent Brown, who it looked like he was gone to, I think it was Seattle at the time. And that would have changed. I mean, they lose all three of those guys and forget about it. Mm-hmm. Getting Trent Brown back, obviously, is a very good player. That helps them. They were bad at receiver last year. Did they get better? They went and got a speed receiver. Seemed like a reach in the second or third round. I don't remember. Obviously, we all know that the reach in the first round for the guard.
Guard, yeah.
No, they could be good players. I'm not saying that they're bad players, but at this point, they are reaches until they're proven otherwise. So, to me, I don't know. I feel like the roster has not gotten better, and you didn't address probably the biggest issue, which is getting receiver separation at the second level.
We're winding our way through the AFC East. That takes us to the Jets, who I think are interesting. And I guess, you know what, before I get into having you assess their offseason, like Miami, and like New England, like everybody not named Buffalo, this division's assessment comes down to what are you getting out of your young quarterback. What did you guys at PFF think of Zach Wilson last season? Let's start there.
Not very good. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I can look them up right now. But, like, yeah, not very good. You know, second overall pick, I think most of the people here at PFF like them as that second overall pick. Personally, looking at the tape, I didn't see it. Now, no one knows how to evaluate quarterbacks going from college to pro, so maybe I was the one out. After 1 year, I looked like a smart guy. I'm not, but I got this one right, at least for one season. The offense that they played in at BYU didn't have a lot of concepts. He threw a lot of jump balls on the sideline, threw the ball to the sideline a lot, out routes and stuff like that, did not trust himself over the middle of the field. And the level of competition in 2020, BYU versus the teams they faced, was just not even close. I've never seen an offensive line dominate the way the BYU's 2020 offensive line dominated. So now you put him in an NFL system where it's got to say, like, hey, there's parity. Like, yes, you might, you know, if you play a bad defense, the bad defenses are pretty good, especially if you're the Jets. You have more concepts. You can't just run the same three concepts over and over again. And I think his eyes kind of darted around a bit. I think he was a little jittery with his feet last year. So the things have to change, not now. We have to give these guys, all these rookie quarterbacks, you have to give them some leeway and say, okay, well, they come in, you know, they're drafted in April, they're coming in right off the bat into an NFL system, and they're starting. So here they have an off season, they have a full off season with a year of experience under their belt. So you have high hopes for them. And like you said, they did a lot of good stuff in free agency. They went out and they got really good players. We feel like they got good players in the draft. So hopefully Zach Wilson makes enough of a jump to that those, like we said earlier, like those players actually can help out.
Yeah, it's funny because if you look at everything else, right? If you look at, Seth, everything else the Jets did, they got better at tight end with Uzama. They had to improve their secondary. They bring in Whitehead. They bring in Reed. They draft Sauce Gardner. They add another threat at wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. They try and do more to firm up the offensive line with Tomlinson. Like, there are a lot of things that you would look at the Jets doing that made perfect sense in free agency and the draft, and it looks like they're building a better roster. But no matter what we say, it'll always circle back to the quarterback. But they definitely addressed some big holes this offseason.
Yeah. 100%. And, like, you know, finding that edge rusher, you know, I didn't think that Jermaine Johnson was a first-round pick, but they did. They certainly thought he was a top-10 pick. So they feel very comfortable about trading back up the first round to get him at 23 or whatever they did. So, they addressed some holes. And I do think it's interesting that they didn't go out and maybe they tried, who knows, but they didn't go out and get the splashy free agent. They just get, like you said, C.J. Uzoma is a super solid tight end. Lakin Tomlinson is a super solid guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they went out and they got, like, these, like, really solid players. They didn't go and splash the cash because I think they're still in a wait-and-see mode where they're going to have to make a very hard decision on Zach Wilson after this season.
Seth, appreciate you spending some time with us. Sorry to bug you in the offseason, but thanks for talking football with us this morning.
No problem, guys.
Seth Galina, senior football analyst, Pro Football Focus, joining us on the Western Hotline. Quickly, got some quick football notes here before we go to break. Want to throw one in. It's a bonus stat of the day. You don't have to play the stat of the day music, Zach. We had our main stat of the day. We had a bonus stat of the day. Actually, this is 1, 2, 3. This is the fourth stat of the day. So it's a bonus stat of the day. Now, it's not a new stat. You already knew the numbers. But it's just, it's weird enough to say, wow, that looks really funny. So I need to mention that on the show. Somebody tweeted out a screenshot. Deshaun Watson, he's been in the news lately. He's having talks this season, meeting with some NFL officials this week down in Texas. They're trying to figure out if he violated the personal conduct policy. And if he did, you know, would there be some kind of suspension? So, you know, whether he plays or not for the Browns this season is, of course, a very important discussion. Would not expect him to be cut, but it's funny. Somebody took a screenshot of his dead cap ramifications if for some reason he's cut by the Browns. And you got to remember, like, we talk about dead cap and, you know, you get up past, you get up past $10 million. It's a pretty good chunk. You know, you get into some of these quarterback contracts, you get into $20 million dead cap, some really crazy numbers, right? Now, it's important to remember when Deshaun Watson signed his contract with the Browns, it was 5 years, $230 million, guaranteed. So the dead cap, if he was cut, this is from SpotTrack, by the way, who's a fantastic website when it comes to football contracts for any other sports. It's really good. They break down in every year of each player's contract. You can click on a little X, and it'll tell you what it would cost in dead cap money. Pre-6-1, post-6-1, whatever. Deshaun Watson's dead cap. If he's cut before the coming season, I know he's not, right? But it's just he's not. His dead cap is $230 million. What is the cap? Is it under that? Where is the NFL cap right now? Oh, I should have been. Hang on a second. NFL salary cap 2022.
$208 million.
$208.2 million. So Deshaun Watson's dead cap number is more than the entire salary cap if he's cut before the coming season. Right, I know this is preposterous, but hey, it gets better though. It's not as bad. If he's cut before next season, his dead cap drops all the way down to $219 million. Hey, maybe they get 2 years and they want to move on from Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. Before 2024, dead cap still $164 million. If he's cut before the fourth year of a five-year contract, his dead cap, it's still $109 million. Then it gets easy. If they cut him before the fifth and final year of the contract, it's only $54 million in dead cap space. It means nothing. It means that they're not cutting him. He might be suspended, but they're not cutting him. But even in like the end of the $54 million in dead cap money is unheard of, even in the back end of the deal. So thank you for whoever tweeted out. What does it mean? Nothing. I just thought it was really funny to look at a screenshot and find dead cap $230 million. Bonus stat of the day. Tell you what, let's do something radical. I have some interesting scheduled tidbits I want to pass along. I was getting caught up on some football reading yesterday. I always read Peter King at NBC Sports, and prior to that, SI. I think his football columns are always filled with some interesting stuff. So I caught up on some interesting schedule notes that I wanted to pass along. And a question I've been asking myself, I'll bring it up with Zach about Amazon. Anyway, we'll do some of that next. The radical thing is, let's just break on time. And that'll leave us more time to get into all this football stuff in the next segment. 803-0550 to join us. One of the things we've been talking about this morning, ESPN's FPI, their Football Power Index rankings that are out, came out yesterday, have the Bills number one in the NFL, top team and Super Bowl favorite. Would you make the Bills the favorite? If not, who would it be and why? Larry tweeted in, I'm worried about the Buffalo sports curse, of course. I don't worry about that stuff. I mean, I may have in the past, but I think Josh Allen and Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott should make you not think of the Buffalo sports curse, even though they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl yet. Anyway, 803-0550, you'd like to share your thoughts on that. Anything else you want to get to in the wonderful world of sports, that's fine too. Some scheduled tidbits on the way next, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Blitz coming. Rodgers floats one. Valdez-Scantling inside, trying to get to the end zone. He's going to go. A bomb to Valdez-Scantling. Touchdown, Green Bay.
So this Rodgers guy, he's good. So I want to get to a little football, some football notes, some scheduling notes, actually, thanks to Peter King and his column at NBC Sports. By the way, hope you're enjoying the nice weather. For those of you that do, but if you do like the windows open in your house, good week for that. Actually, you know what? You might have actually looked for the old winter blanket last night if you had the windows open. It was down around 40 degrees when I got cool, very cool nights. Cool days, window open, good fresh air, good sleeping weather, right? For those of you that want, hey, let's get hot, wait till Friday. Mid-60s today. This is where I just blame Patrick Hammer over at Channel 2 for all of our weather issues. Mid-60s today, mid-60s tomorrow. Then did you see Friday? 86. We're going to go cool, nice, air conditioning. 86 on Friday. The record is 90. So I don't think we'll break it, but we'll approach it. And then it's 83 on Saturday, and then we're back down to the 60s.
Big 80 degrees guy here.
Yeah.
Big.
We have a little splinter in the family when it comes to my oldest brother is not a Heat guy. And I don't mean the basketball team. He's not a fan of 80 plus. When it gets to 80 plus, he's not a happy man. I'm like, hey man, bring me the hot weather. I'm good with that. I'm tired of bundling up. I don't want cold. Although I would say, Zach, and I'm also swayed by the fact that I am a pool owner. I think if you're a pool owner, you're not even going to complain a lot about 90-degree days because, quite honestly, Mother Nature heats my pool. But I'm good with like 75 to 80, 81, 82 tops for the high, and like low 60s at night. Like that's the range for me, you know, nice and warm during the day, but not stupid, oppressively hot, you know, not like Florida in the summer, but warm. I mean, like low 70s, not good enough. I need, like I said, I think you get up when you start approaching like 84, 85, you know, then I got to turn the AC on, gets a little sticky. So low 80s tops for the high and then low 60s for the low, because that's open the window up good sleeping weather for me.
I think that's the key is good sleeping weather. Like as much as I like the 85 to 90 days.
Yeah, well, when it's hot at night, you're just tossing and turning in bed.
Yeah.
It's just you can't, you're miserable. And, as the person who manages the utility bills in the house, I'm one of those people who like holds off on the heat, right? We're into October. We're like, not yet. Yeah, but it's 40 degrees outside. No, leave the furnace off. And I'm the reverse in the summer because, you know, electric bills can skyrocket. So, you know, my wife, we finally got to, it's fun, we were having this discussion. I know I owe you Peter King notes. I promise I'll get to it. We were having this discussion the other day in the newsroom. Joe Beamer was out there, Brian Mazurowski, the folks from BEN. The open the window debate. Like, okay, when does it get, like, it was really more so when does it get too hot? Like Beamer told me this was, let's see, last week we had some, I think we had some warmer days, right?
Oh, yeah, we did.
And Beamer's like, yeah, we've had the AC on for like the last 2 weeks. Like, Joe, what are you talking about? It hasn't been that hot yet. So he and his wife are like, let's keep the house really cold. Like he sets his AC at like 69 degrees or something like that. That's cold. I usually don't go lower than 72. But it's an interesting debate of at what point is the window open or window closed, whichever way you look at it. I think you get to like 80. When the house gets to like 81, 82, it starts to get uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah, my family's a little quicker. We have a pug, so it gets like higher than like 65. He's panting.
Oh,
so it's a little rough where it's like, all right, close the windows or turn the AC on. But he's gotten better as he's gotten older where he'll kind of deal with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little quicker.
And like you said, it's not as bad during the day. But when you're trying to go to bed at night, if the house is really warm, that's hard. Anyway, nice and cool, hot weekend, Friday and Saturday. Keep that in mind. So Peter King had some interesting schedules. Why did we play Aaron Rodgers right there? You might be wondering. It has nothing to do with the Bills-Packers game. But it does have a lot to do with Green Bay. Not surprisingly, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers were very popular in terms of the television networks. Peter King wrote, there's a game in Week 11 between the Titans and the Packers. A Thursday night game. Peter King says, he writes this, Tennessee-Green Bay game, Week 11, turned out to be a major statement game. Now I read that and I thought, okay, maybe you know why, because you nodded your head yes. I saw that and I go, Really? Tennessee, Green Bay in week 11 is a major statement game. How come? Do you have a thought on that? Or would you like to explain?
Trying to remember who won that, because Tennessee sort of was clinching the one seed around that time.
Has nothing to do with that. No, it is not like standings related.
Was it a ratings thing?
Yes. The Tennessee-Green Bay game was major because the league went out of its way to help Amazon. This is Amazon's first year as a partner. They are streaming the Thursday night games. They paid a lot of money to stream the Thursday night games. So the league made sure to tell the schedule makers, we need to give them some really good matchups. And in part, I think it's interesting because in part, Peter King brings up something that Jeremy and I have talked about. It seems like for so many years, this year, not the case. ESPN got screwed with the Monday Night Football package. Like, again, this is one of those generational things. If you grew up in if you're my age, Monday Night Football was it. That was it. There was no Thursday night. There was no Sunday night. Monday Night Football was, you got on Monday Night Football. That was huge. And it, you know, over time, it felt like Monday Night Football took a really big backseat. And I thought ESPN has had a lot of really dog games, which statistically, actually, it bears out. They really didn't get great games. The league decided, let's not do this to Amazon. Let's give them some really juicy games. So they gave them that. So what Amazon's going to do, you know, if you've ever watched ESPN, you ever seen an ESPN College Game Day on a Saturday morning?
Yes.
Great show.
Perfect.
Loved it. It was great with Chris Fowler and was it Reese Davis? I forget who anchors it.
Yep,
was it
Reese Davis.
Love it. Corso's on, Herb Street's, fantastic show. Desmond Howard. It's a great way to get ready for a college football Saturday. They go to a different campus, they highlight a big matchup, and they do this multi-hour, 3 hours, right? I think it's 9 to noon, pregame show. It's fantastic. So they're going to do something similar to that, the NFL equivalent of College Game Day on Amazon for their Thursday night package this year, which I thought is really interesting. Now, I don't know how long the show's going to be, but it sounds like they're going to be doing something like that. It shows, so here's what the league did to make sure Amazon was happy. You know, they use a computer, right? They feed all this information into computers, and the computer spits out potential schedules for the NFL. 92% of the schedules that came out from the computers had the Jets-Packers as a Green Bay home game. And the league basically said, nah, we can't put Jets-Packers on a Thursday for Amazon. It's not going to be a competitive game. So they asked the schedule, go find a better game. So they put Tennessee in against Green Bay. So the Thursday night streaming package is a better package than a lot of these Monday Night Football sets that ESPN has had. And he wrote, 8 games, more than half of this package this year on Amazon, 8 games, match teams with winning records from last season. They never worried about that with ESPN Monday Night Football. They made a way to do it with Amazon. So here's my question, Zach. Are you an Amazon subscriber?
I'm not. That might change, though.
Now, these are exclusive to Amazon.
Yeah.
Now, not when the Bills play on Thursday night, the game will still be shown in this market on one of the over-the-air televisions. So you don't have to have Amazon to get the Bills game. There's one Thursday game.
Yeah, only the one.
There's 2 Thursday games, one's Thanksgiving. So it's one game against, I think, New England, right? You'll be able to get that without Amazon. I don't have Amazon. I have every other streaming service, but not I've got the Disney Hulu bundle. We've got
kind of where I'm at.
Netflix.
Yeah, got everything.
We've got Paramount. We had to get that for Yellowstone, I think. No, 1883. Oh, it doesn't matter. So I've got all these. I'm not planning on getting Amazon. I can't tell you the last time that I was like shut out of NFL games that are on national platforms. So is it worth it? Are you getting Amazon based on, well, and the league went out of their way to get you to spend money because they loaded up Amazon with some really attractive games?
I'm not the biggest fan of Thursday Night Football. I think regardless of the fact that traditionally it's been the AFC South showdown, it's just been whoever's bad in that division plays.
Jaguars and somebody.
Yeah, and it's their one primetime or two primetime games that year. I don't like Thursday Night Football. I think it oversaturates it. I think it's too much.
Yeah.
We already do focus a ton on football because it's not, you know, every other day. And the NFL's really trying to make for like 17
weeks of this. But don't you feel, and I agree with you, but don't you feel like you're an outsider? Like you're in like, hey, don't talk to him. He doesn't have the Thursday night package.
Well,
like you're
going
to be missing out. Like everybody at work's, oh, did you see that game last night? Like some of their matchups, well, the Bills-Patriots, but again, we'll get that game. But starting in week 11, okay, three straight games on Amazon. Titans, Packers, Bills, Patriots, Raiders, Rams. Like, they're giving them really good games, and you're going to go into work Friday and you're going to be like, wow, did you see that game last night? Nah, I don't subscribe to Amazon. I feel like I'm going to be left out of, I'm going to be in a football outsiders club. Don't talk to that guy. He doesn't have the Thursday night package. That's really...
I feel like either you got to hold out forever and just be like that guy that's like, nope, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to do it. Or like you just, I can't be the outsider. I can't do that.
I feel like I'm going to cave to pressure.
Oh, I'm actually going to cave.
It's May, what's today? 16th, 17th, 18th. I have no desire to do this, but I'm going to tell you, when we get into the season, I did this with center ice one year. I'm like, nah, I always got center ice. I got extra innings back. I did all that stuff. And I got to the point, I'm like, screw it. I'm not going to get it. And then one year, we get into the season, I'm like, oh, I don't have it. We're going to get into the season, and I feel like I'm going to cave to the pressure of, I can't miss Thursday night football. I can't. I've got to go get the package. So that's going to be an interesting decision, and I feel like I will eventually cave and go, all right, we're going to get Amazon for the football season.
I'll probably cave. I think maybe get through, the first two games, and then it'll be like, all right, I am, legitimately missing the full games.
Right. All it takes is one great game that everybody's talking about. You're like, all right, I got to break the bank here. I got to go get Amazon. Well, you wouldn't be breaking the bank. Anyway, so that's the deal on that. They really wanted to make it successful, so they loaded up on some good games for them. They're also going to have two different broadcast teams for every game. The main one's going to be Michaels and Herb Street, and then they'll kind of have a non-traditional broadcast team for a separate feed. And they're going to have innovative studio shows. They are planning some different things than your traditional NFL broadcasting approach. So that's something to keep an eye on with them. Quickly, Peter King brought up Black Friday. Do you remember there was a speculation that the NFL was going to put a Black Friday game on?
Oh, yeah, because we were going to have the craziness of a Thanksgiving game, World Cup game.
Yeah.
And then an NFL game on the same day.
They didn't, but that's right. I forgot to mention that. So Fox has this coming up. Thanksgiving Day, they'll have Giants-Dallas in the late afternoon window. It might not be a good game because the Giants might not be in, but we'll see. They have Giants-Dallas. They have World Cup Soccer, U.S.-England on Friday. And then they have Michigan-Ohio State. And then they'll have their Sunday NFL. Not a bad set of 4 days. But Black Friday. So here's the deal. There's a rule in place. A law. The NFL cannot go past 6 p.m. Having a game past 6 p.m. on Black Friday. Broadcast rules were put in place in the 60s. This was to be mindful of college football and high school football. So if the NFL wants to add a Black Friday game, which Peter King suggests they will try and do next year for Amazon, it can't go past 6 p.m. So they didn't do it this year, but they're not ruling out a Black Friday afternoon game next year.
That'll be weird.
Like 2 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Yeah. Because it'll only be probably one game.
Right? I would assume, right.
It's going to be
a standalone early afternoon Black Friday game.
I mean, I'll watch it, but that'll be kind of weird, right?
Thursday night football, Friday afternoon football for Black Friday if you want to do that for next season. Anyway, so I thought it was kind of interesting. Some little news and notes and nuggets. When we get back, let's see. Extended Sports is on the way. We have, hold on a second, I got to get what we have. Oh, I actually have something new they're going to be trying down the road for Monday Night Football, which is two different ideas. Both are fabulous and should have been put into place already. The XFL announced their plans, their broadcast plans, and tomorrow's the PGA Championship. Round one, round two, there is a group. You are going to absolutely have to find a way, if you're working tomorrow morning, to watch this group. This is very juicy. I love this group being put together. So we'll tell you about that in a moment. Top of the hour, Extra Point Show with Sal and Joe on WGR.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
I would like to point out that we weren't super late for this one. This is semi on time.
No, it's on time. This is on time.
However, I can't, Jeremy was out today. We kind of were not exactly on time for.
No, yesterday was something.
Yeah, and I didn't get any better today, unfortunately. Okay, so let's start with... Oh, really? ESPN Plus. All right, I got to watch on my computer. Let's start with the PGA Championship, shall we? Yeah, we got a few minutes. Okay, tomorrow, PGA Championship gets underway in Oklahoma. And by the way, Brian Kozel, who you hear on the Tee to Green show every Saturday morning on WGR, Mr. Kozel will join us tomorrow bright and early, 6:30 in the morning, for a PGA Championship preview. They have announced a pairing of Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy. I am all in. And I'm not overly concerned about what they're wearing. I'm sure we'll discuss this when Jeremy's back. Hopefully Jeremy's back tomorrow. But Tiger, Spieth, McIlroy will tee off together at 9:11 tomorrow morning. So make your plans accordingly. If you have, speaking of streaming packages, the ESPN Plus package. That's where you'll be able to watch that tomorrow. Okay? The live stream is from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in ESPN Plus. And then ESPN picks it up at 1 o'clock and goes until 8. So if you want to watch those guys, Woods, Spieth, McIlroy, 9:11 tomorrow morning, ESPN Plus. And then they will be, of course, together in round two. And that's Friday. They'll flip to the afternoon. So that's at 2:36. So, Zach, this is on you to remind me tomorrow to turn on my stream on my computer.
I'll put it in the 9 o'clock update.
I got to figure out how to get ESPN Plus on my computer. I don't think I've actually tried that before. Okay, but remind me to watch that group so I can keep an eye on them. Okay, what else do I want to tell you about? Monday Night Football. It's about time. You know how we've mentioned over the years, like in week one when they do a Monday Night Football doubleheader, and we go, hey, that's a really great idea. First off, yay for us in the Eastern time zone because there's a game at 7. And the 10 o'clock game, whatever. It's usually a Western matchup. It's not that big a deal. But we get to watch a full football game for people who wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Adam Schefter has tweeted out, starting next season, there will be 3 Monday Night Football doubleheaders. Woo! But also, guess what? To our discussion about, boy, ESPN has gotten some crappy schedules. Flex scheduling coming to Monday Night Football. Now, as a fan, might not go over well with some of you because if you have, you know, plans, all of a sudden things changed, Bills remove this or that, whatever. But anyway, flex scheduling, Monday Night Football, weeks 14 through 18 will start next season. And they will add 3 Monday Night Football doubleheaders. Is that Capaccio on the line?
Yes, it is. So I can add to this a little bit. I listened to the entire podcast with Adam Schefter and Mike North.
Your buddy Mike North, who you get on, yes.
My buddy. So I have Mike North every year before the schedule release. Actually has him after the schedule release.
By the way, keep doing it because I think that's a fascinating podcast whenever you get him on.
It's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. And Mike goes on. Not only that, and there's another gentleman, I can't think of his name. I'll get it in a second, but he goes on. They both go on with Schefter. So yes and no, I agree with you. But actually, this was something I was going to talk with Joe about at the top of our show. So I'll throw this by you.
Okay.
What he said was, they said they are going to do flex scheduling weeks 14 through 18.
Right.
They are going to do 3 Monday night doubleheaders. They do not know what weeks those will be yet. And they don't know yet when those times will be in their kickoffs.
Oh.
They're not committing to an early, late game, a crossover game. They said it could even be the same time kickoff. They do not know what it's going to be. They could be all different for the 3. They could be the same thing. This week 2 this year with the Bills is kind of a trial balloon to see how it plays with the ratings and all that kind of stuff.
I don't like it. I don't like the crossover. If you're going to have if the Bills and Titans are playing at, 7:15, the other game needs to start at 10:15, whatever. I do not like overlapping NFL games on Monday night.
Well, Schefter basically said the same thing to them. And they're like, right, but, you know, there's also, you know, they want to see if people, they're relying on to see how their network partners treat it. Like, they could do, like, whip arounds and, like, kind of a red zone thing. Like, there's a lot that's being considered here of why they would do it the different ways.
Well, I like the flex schedule. I know, like, again, that can be annoying for fans, but it makes perfect sense. If I'm a TV partner, Sal, and I'm paying billions of dollars, like we just talked about how they went out of their way to help Amazon. We know they helped Sunday Night Football with Flex. For years, they should have been doing something to make Monday Night late season Monday Night Football games as attractive as possible. I know CBS will want its games on Sunday, and Fox wants to protect itself on Sunday. But if you're paying billions of dollars, you got to throw Monday Night Football a bone, and apparently they're going to, and I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I agree with you. But look, I mean, there's a lot of logistics. I feel bad for fans, right? I mean, from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night's one thing.
Right.
From Sunday to Monday night is a totally different deal, right? Everybody involved with stadium operations and, you know, the organizations and the fans. So I agree with you. But I will also point out, they don't flex a lot of games.
Yeah.
They do have a couple. Like, the Bills got flexed in 2019, right? Pittsburgh. He said, and if I remember correct, I have to go back. I could be wrong in this. I think he said they only flexed one game last year, or maybe no games last year.
Really?
On Sunday night. Might have been one.
Huh.
Yeah. And like, they don't flex a lot of games as much as people talk about the flex scheduling. I mean flex into Sunday night. They flex other times, you know, around the
calendar. But they're also better. They do a better job of making attractive matchups on Sunday night as best as you can in May for games in December and January than they do with Monday Night Football. Like, I feel like Monday Night Football is one of those things where they used as, well, somebody's got to be on primetime. Throw them on Monday night. And Sunday night is sacred, like, right?
Right.
They go out of their way to make Sunday night a blockbuster lineup as much as you can in May.
I think they're trying to do a little bit of that in Monday night too now, but you're right. I think that's the premier night now.
Oh,
There's no doubt about
for
it.
For sure. All right, hey, you sticking around doing your show?
Yeah, going to do the show today, and we'll talk about this. I want to get Joe's thoughts on that as well. Jesse Granger is going to join us, covers the Vegas Knights. Going to talk about their coaching change, what's in store for them going forward. I think that's going to be a pretty interesting discussion because of, you know, getting Tuck and Krebs and now the pick and where they are and the disappointment of their season with Jack now over there and things like that. We'll do that.
Sounds like fun. Okay, Sal's ready to go. Joe is here as well, so don't go anywhere. The Extra Point Show is on the way in moments. Back tomorrow morning at 6. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.